4:02. I'm late. So, 4:02, I'd like to call the ITU Board of Directors meeting to order for Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. Please call the roll.
Chair Hutchinson?
Here.
Vice Chair Dawson?
He's on the line.
Here.
Director Wilkins?
Here.
Director Wilbur?
Here.
Director Miller?
Here.
Director Walsh?
Here.
And Director Kelly is
okay.
He is walking in right now.
He's walking in.
We'll wait for a second and open the door. And I have a motion to approve the agenda and the consent agenda.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Without objection.
I have a few things about just some like grammar and spelling things, but I don't feel like it's the best use of our time to point it all out now. I thought maybe I'd share it later.
So, Erica, can you write that? Fix any grammatical and spelling things on the minutes? Would you please? And then, okay, anything else? Any other modifications to the agenda? The consent agenda? Hearing none without objection, approved. I guess it's a public comment. If anybody wish to provide public comment, go online first. See anybody online, and anybody in the room want to do a public comment? Nobody wants to. Okay, so I'm going to close public comment, which gets us to reports. And let's start with the harvest report. HB Clay is online, so.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, and there's a supplemental packet here that's on your table. Thanks for being talking after that.
So yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. So we have an exciting update for you on the North Slope LNG construction progress. We want to move along to the second slide here. So I'm happy to report that for all intents and purposes, construction on the facility is complete. There's odds and ends, things like adding stairs, little odds and ends around the facility that are still ongoing, but really the construction crews are the few that are remaining are really focused on demobilizing anything, that sort of thing. Construction phase of the project is really done. We are full on in the commissioning phase across the board. So our power building and utilities, that commissioning is all complete. We've been under stable operation there for a little while. The pretreatment facility commissioning there is complete. This bullet point is slightly dated. The team over the last month has been doing a ton of work on programming and instrumentation to fine-tune operations and stabilize that portion of the plant. It's been running well over the last week and producing on-spec gas. The liquefaction process is still in the commission in the final stages of commissioning. So, this facility was, we actually brought in, as you're all well aware, we brought in LNG from IGU to help finish commissioning this portion of the facility. So we used it to cool down the tanks. We used our trailers and some of the initial LNG to practice loading, test all the loading equipment, commission all the loading equipment, and that was successful. We got the liquefaction portion of the facility up and running, and on September 20th, we achieved first LNG production. Now, with any facility like this, there's going to be fits and starts. We have not achieved stable operations as of yet. Over this last weekend, we were actually able to produce. We produced close to 60,000 gallons, and with that, we were able to send the first loads of LNG out of the facility on Sunday evening, and I believe that has arrived down in Fairbanks at this point, with a few more trailer loads behind it. I think four total have been loaded at this point. Sunday evening, we took a shutdown to address some issues within the cold box and liquefaction system. So, you know, we've got to hand it to the team. There's been a huge amount of work that's gone on in the last month to get to this point. We've made pretty significant progress towards getting to stable operations, but we're not quite there yet. We've had a couple issues come up around the cold box that we're working to address right now. You know, I've said this a few times through all of our updates, but at this stage in the game, the safety and the integrity of the facility is paramount, and making sure we get this done right is going to be key for long-term safe and reliable operations of the facility. So that's where we're at. We've produced some LNG. We've sent some trucks down the road, and we're working the rest of the kinks out through the system. So with that, if we flip to the next one, got a couple fun photos here. You can see one of the first trucks being loaded at the facility. That was taken just the other day with one of our operators that's pretty skilled with the drone. We got this photo. If you scroll down to the next one, a little bit bigger view of the plant. So you can see the cold box tower in the back there and the liquefaction building, all the LNG tankage, and then the truck getting loaded up there on the scale. So it's been an exciting month. We're looking forward to getting things steady and stable, but we're not quite there yet. We'll flip to the next slide. That is the very first trailer as it left the facility. I think for the photo op, they cleaned one of the trailers for the first ones. This one's the real deal headed south. So it's a big milestone, and a whole lot of work has gone into getting us to this point. So we're really excited to make that announcement.
Thank you, Craig.
Yep.
And congratulations on finishing all the construction. So I've never seen a project come together perfect yet. So you got to go through
There's a lot of big facilities up there on the slope, and I don't think any of them turned on in one day. We're getting to steady state operations as quickly as we can here.
You're correct. Okay. Moving on to operations report.
Do we have time to ask him any questions? Or
we will in a little bit once we go to Alex.
Okay, operations report. George is sitting right next to me.
All right. So we've wrapped up construction for the 2025 season. Chris and his team did a fantastic job on all of that. Kind of a milestone this year versus other years is all of the work was done in-house completely. We had no help from Utility Technologies or any other contracting companies. So that's a great step in the right direction. So far we've got, what's in the ground total for main lines is 9.2 miles. About 2.5 miles of that is in the Fairbanks system. The remainder is in the non-attainment area out in North Pole. So big strides there, working with that targeted airshed grant. Do have a correction on the services that have been installed. We're actually 262. We had one that wound up being a relocation instead of a service line. But all those are installed and put to bed for the year. So it's kind of nice for a change. We've got everything finished before we're covered in 6 inches of snow. So we've gotten to actually do maintenance on equipment, get everything washed and put to bed before it froze. So nice change. Operations-wise, no lost time injuries, no vehicle accidents. Distribution's been working with 28 turn-ons. They also finished up all the leakage surveys and line patrols. The new monitoring wells at Site 3 were drilled in beginning of last week. We took first reads out of those today, now that the thermistor strings have had a chance to stabilize, and readings out of those look good. We're taking this opportunity of a small period of downtime right here to do our annual review of all of our SOPs, an overhaul of our standards of construction, and then implementing a lot of the changes that need to happen for commissioning our transmission line in the beginning of November. So a lot of regulatory work to be done on that front. Titan's been running relatively smoothly. Production continues to creep up as we start getting colder temperatures down that way. I had Zach pull numbers for me the other day of years prior, and we're right in line, actually a little bit ahead of what we've seen some years. So things are looking good there. and some good progress on the regulatory and FEMSA front this last month. We've had two of our consent agreements that we had open that have been closed out and put to bed. So good work by our engineering team and our operations team on getting those done. And that's all I've got.
Any questions for Jordan? Great job.
So what kind of an agreement do we have with United Technologies? That you said the
Utility Technologies.
Oh, Utilities Technologies. What kind of an agreement do we have with them?
So it's been a line item pay structure years past, based on pipeline diameter and depth of installation. That contract was restructured when it was put back out to bid 2023 going into 24, and we proposed an option for a contract renewal with them. But at the time of re-signing a renewal, we didn't have adequate work in front of us for them to mobilize this direction. So we ramped up our interior crew, our in-house crews instead.
I see. So we had no agreement with them.
No, we didn't.
I see. And what about, so how many people are on the crew?
It depends on which crew you're working with. Our mainline crews are typically four people, to where you've got a driller, a drill locator, and then a pair that are doing tie-ins and excavation restoration behind them. Mm-hmm. For service line installs, it's typically three people going through. You've got whichever piece of equipment you're installing with, whether it's the vibratory plow, the trencher, somebody coming through and fusing pipe, completing ties behind, and then the whole crew kind of working on restoration and documentation.
And are any of those seasonal?
Yes.
All of them seasonal?
All of them are seasonal.
Oh, really?
Except for Chris, of our construction crews, the project manager is the only full-time. We have been fortunate to have a good core crew of six or seven folks that have been coming back every year, and that continues to grow each year. So it's been good to see.
So they like the seasonal work?
Well, we've got a couple of snowbirds that disappear back to Florida for the winter and come up here and just enjoy Alaskan summer. And then we've got a number of younger folks that they really cut their teeth learning to do the pipeline industry starting back when I did in 2022. Uh-huh. And they've just been coming back, and some have been bringing family and friends along the way. And
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Sure. Were the 28 turn-ons in line with your goals?
They're fairly consistent. I mean, we can only turn folks on as soon as contractors have their boilers converted and everything else. I think, and Elena can correct me on this, we're actually ahead of what we've seen years past of new installations being turned on.
Percentage-wise, yes. Number-wise, no, but we installed significantly less service lines this year than years past.
We're going with 600 in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a little behind our goal.
Oh. How many did we do?
263.
And our goal budget was 600.
Some of them were large customers, though, correct?
Some of them were larger, yeah. But.
Okay. Gary.
One question and then a comment. The consent agreements that were closed, are there other consent agreements that are out there that we're working on?
We have one remaining consent agreement that we're working on. Its deadlines for closing that out are the end of October.
Major? Minor?
Minor.
Yeah.
Mostly waiting on PLC programming to complete. The rest of the fire protection components have already been installed.
Good. George, when did you start with IGU, and in what position?
I started with IGU in May of 2020 as a seasonal quality assurance inspector.
I always enjoy this part of the agenda because your reports are always so positive.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to keep that going. But I knew you started at the bottom of the pile, and you've worked your way up. And frankly, unless you're fooling everyone you're fooling me like others, you just do a great job, and you've earned the place at the table, and we're glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to hear that, sir.
Thank you.
He's pulling us, too.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. I have one question. You mentioned transmission line. Is that the main line that goes on Tiger Road, or is it truly a transmission line?
It's a transmission line by regulatory definition.
Okay.
Because it leaves a storage facility and then terminates at a pressure-reducing station, it meets the PHMSA definition. In reality, when you compare it to other utilities' transmission lines, it is very small in nature. So we're running a 12-inch line at 100 PSI compared to the remainder of our system's 60 PSI MAOP. But it's enough that it'll supplement system pressures on the far side of town and continue to serve what we need.
So you have to do a transmission in?
Yes.
We have
the distribution integrity management, and we're still in development on the transmission version.
Okay. Cool. Any more questions? Okay, thank you. We'll move on to financial committee report.
Okay. So nothing special to discuss regarding the financial summary or the financial reports themselves, and that doesn't mean we didn't look at them. We do, and we ask questions, but they're always satisfactorily answered. I think, you know, there's a conclusion at the end where it says, in summary, there was not much activity in August. We continue to build LNG inventory and progress with the construction season. The audit is complete, and the final draft is in final review with the auditors. And we essentially agree with that statement, so there's, you know, nothing particular to talk about in there. Looking at the dashboards, there are a few things to point out. I'm now on page 17 of 29, and several of things that were red last month are now green. And they weren't significant changes regardless, because there's not a lot of significant financial stuff going on right now in this time of the year. The sales are low and that sort of thing. But revenue has turned from red to green. Distribution, storage, and administration in general have turned from red to green. And then looking at the actual versus budget as far as cost per MCS to date, you can see that's $5 less than the budget. And that was a complete turnaround from last month. Previous month it was the opposite way, not by $5, but the actual year to date was higher than budget. So there's been a turnaround in that. One thing was of some concern. Concern was raised about the decrease in or the difference between grant income to date and the budget year to date. And so if Zach or Elena would address that issue.
We can. Zach is looking at me, which means I'm in charge. We will not have this. This is a timing difference. We will not have this this deficit at the end of the fiscal year, especially because of how grant income affects our debt coverage ratio. We are very carefully tracking it, and anything that, if anything, once we close the construction season and we bill the for those expenses, the only reason we would have been under what we thought we were going to spend is because we were under budget, so we installed cheaper. And anything that wherever that is going to be the case, we're going to prioritize for June of 2026, which will still be in this fiscal year.
Okay, thank you. And then looking at the next page, page 18, we look at the annual budget versus the projected cost per MCF at the end of this fiscal period. You can see that we're just a little bit below on it, but It is falling. It was higher than that. Projected was higher than that last month. But just one thing is that we're at a time of the year when there can be large deviations from the budget, but we're so close into the year that that we have a long time to carry that out, and it's just a period of very low consumption. I'd like to look at page 19, and this is a chart I introduced that Zach produced and I introduced last month that takes three things: operating revenue, cost of goods sold, and then OPEX less interest, depreciation, and administration. And just to show you where that information comes from, let's go to page 12. So those numbers are, you can see, there are three major categories: operating revenues, cost of goods sold, and operating expenses. And that's just what these are. This is just a chart of those things at the year end of every year that we've been in business so far as IGU. So that's just where the numbers come from. They're just right off the financial reports. And so I asked Zach to do this, hoping that it would show that our operating expenses would start dropping. Because that was the idea. We get more customers, spread, then we have a fixed cost to spread across more customers, and then our increases would be slower than the increases for revenue and for cost of goods sold. But you can see they've pretty much progressed evenly. OPEX has actually increased more on a percentage basis from that period than the other two have increased. And so I asked, so it's kind of the opposite happened of what we wanted to happen or what we were expecting to happen. So I asked Zach and Elena to find out why.
Sure.
Stop looking at me. Turn your mic off.
Well, because Zach is the reporter.
No, I know. We're joking. Either of us can give you the answer.
So one of the things to point out, and Gary, I'm sorry I can't use the nice blackboard back here. I apologize for that. But one of the things to keep in mind is, so our revenue is right here purple, and this blue right here, our blue line right here, cost of goods sold. They're trending up together, which is good. Okay. However, you'll see right here, about right in here, on both of them, they start to rise about 2023.
Okay.
First things first, right here, this right here. All right, compared to where we're at all the way over here.
A couple things driving that. First is cost of gas got more expensive. Beginning of 2021, we started using Canadian LNG, more expensive. And the third thing is trucking. Trucking has gone up 107% since 2020. While we were originally back in 2020, 2021 time period paying about $1,800 a load, the current load just on the parks alone, not taking into any type of trailer maintenance, is $3,750 a load. So that increase right there is driving that blue line. The green line, that big driver, and you'll see about 2023 it starts to rise right there and continues to go up. That is more compliance work for PHMSA with our storage sites.
And it was, I thought it was just kind of ironic George was talking about consent agreements because of the PHMSA audits and the compliance we've had to adhere to for that. We've had a significant increase in our storage site overhead costs, making sure we're compliant with PHMSA.
A big portion of that was having to stand up a 24-hour control center, in addition to all of the additional work, getting all of our SOPs in order, doing some back work on engineering and other issues that we've discovered at the sites.
So those are the largest variances that I've seen. Obviously, we've got your natural inflation to throw in there, but those are items that whenever I went and researched what you were asking about, those stick out the most. And a significant increase year over year and a large jump starting about 2023 going from, you know, our storage operations went from about $1.2 million a year to now it's about $2.2 million a year. So, like Elena said, adding a control room and staffing that 24/7 along with additional compliance requirements has significantly increased our OPEX expenses to that area.
So that's, went from what to what?
So in 2023, we had our operations was about $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. And as of 2026, it's about $2.2 million.
So about $1 million difference?
That's just going on 3 years, year over year.
And that was?
2023 to 2026.
$1 million extra, but 50%.
So gas, I mean, our contract with Hillcorp has a natural inflation and a tight.
Yeah, the purple line and the blue line going up is expected, and, you know, and it's just the green line. In cost and MCF should be going down.
Defeating it, yeah. The more MCF we bring in, right? Yeah.
We're supposed to have this fixed cost spread across more. And that's what's not happening, basically.
We've got more operating expenses that are not that on that green line that we did not have back in 2020, 21, 2022.
Okay, I have a different perspective there. So the blue line is variable cost. It goes up and down. It
based on purchase, amount of gas. Yeah.
The green line is not. It's fixed cost, effectively. It's with all your labor, all that stuff. And so if I was doing a comparison to see if I wanted that number to go down, I would divide it by the volume sold. Put your component going into your thing. So I'd be doing more math on this thing.
So I did, in fact, do that. So it does, we have a sharp increase from 2024 to 2025, and then a slight decrease from 2025 to 2026.
So, how much less we sold in 25?
That is part of the driver behind that, unfortunately, though. Yeah.
So, if you can make that'd be the standard way of looking at this.
Yeah.
Because if you looked at the green line, which the fixed cost of the green line and just the total amount going in, and you quadrupled the amount of gas sales, you're going to expect to have to do more. Like, my guess is that you had to have more people at this tank farm to receive it and to offload fuel because you bought more fuel.
Yeah.
Right. So
more customers.
Okay. But the fact that the total has increased higher than the other shows that the cost per MCF is not going down. It's actually going up. The this supposedly fixed cost green line that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's increasing at a higher rate than the other two. Which means that at least my thinking with this, maybe there's some further math needs to be done to check that out, is that actually the OPEX is more expensive now per MCF than it was before. Per MCF. We're not talking about totals or anything like that. We're talking per MCF.
I haven't seen the graph, so if you have a graph like this, it shows the per MCF.
No, I did not bring that this time because we didn't actually speak. We didn't talk to it at the Finance Committee. So the MCF, Elena brings up a great point, is that in 2025 we had a sharp decrease in sales, right? So that's going to drive the percentage that you're talking about up. So cost of goods sold we're talking about, it does not change pretty much year over year from 24 to 25, it's about 6% to 6.6%, and then a jump up in 2026, which we know why that jumps up, because of our contract on the North Slope. OpEx, however, is from 23 to 24, jumped up about 3%.
But the thing is, looking at the six-year trend, the increase is higher for the OpEx than anything else. That's all, you know?
Right.
But you can, sure, there's differences from year to year.
No, absolutely. But the point I want to try to make, that what I see whenever I look at the numbers, is 2023, you can, that's why I put those lines on there. You can see right there that that's when it starts trending upward. Relatively prior to that, it's fairly flat.
Yeah.
And that's when we started having more compliance requirements at Storage Site 3. We have some more deep numbers.
Perhaps a deeper dive. Yeah.
Well, I'll put some more numbers on the chart for the next Finance Committee, and we can dive into it.
It does what you're expecting it to do, Director Wilbur. From 2021 to 2022 to 2023, and then it starts going up 24, 25, 26.
Most of the increases are in that period, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. And if you.
So you'll do a deeper dive on that?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Gary, you got a question?
So Zach, if you complete the sentence about trucking. You started at 1,700, it doubled 100%, went to 3,400, so far so good.
1,800 to 3,750,
okay.
With some numbers in between there.
Okay, so then the next jump is with the new traders, the bigger traders. What will the trader cost be from the slope?
A little over 8,000.
Eight. So, and the capacity of the traders have gone from 10 to 13?
Right, so we are getting more bang for our buck with the higher capacity trailers, mm-hmm. But we're just talking about cost per trip here.
Talking about what?
Cost per trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a cost per MCF.
Yeah,
so on the cost per trip, we are getting more bang for our buck.
Mm-hmm.
So we are saving money there. But the overall cost per trip is what has jumped up significantly.
Okay, thank you.
But the trucking cost, Gary, is in the blue line, not in the green line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that doesn't reflect the new haul.
Yeah,
it does. It does. That blue line from 25 to 26 right there, that's the budget amount right there, because that's what we're projecting. So from 25,
it's a projection.
Yeah, this is a projection. So the actuals from 25, these are all audited financial statements from right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the jump where we've got a blend of a couple months of Titan gas and the trucking on the parks versus then you've got the increase with our new contract on the North Slope and the longer hauls.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions for Zach or Elena? We'll see if there's more information at the next meeting. Okay, next report is General Manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be very brief, and I'll jump over some of these things that are just here in writing, but don't require too much additional information.
We presented the latest targeted airshed grant reports to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. They are the main recipient of the targeted airshed grant funds, and we are a sub-recipient. They did say that they are expecting a new targeted airshed grant a posting or award notice of funding opportunity before the end of the calendar year. They're expecting, because the last tag that got posted by the federal government was in 2022, they're expecting that the amount each region is eligible for will increase. And they are interested in continuing to work with IGU so that we can continue installing natural gas main lines in areas where the air quality is not compliant. We have our next update to the Borough Assembly on October 16th. We're going to have a booth at Go Winter Expo here shortly, October 25 and 26. We're continuing to build LNG inventory, and we have done so for the month of September in accordance with the budgeted expectations. To do a slightly deeper dive about the customers that we have installed already this construction season, 87 of those are commercial properties. So as far as percentages go, that's pretty good. That's what we would expect, just slightly higher out of a 600 new customer spread, and of those 105 are already using gas. I just got those numbers from Suzanne as we were talking here, so turning on sooner, which is a good thing because we wind up to turn on and use gas. We are still working with the 2024 installs that have not yet turned on. There's 22 of those, 11 of them just paid their construction costs, and we expect that they will start using natural gas sometimes in the future because the building has access to natural gas now, but it won't be within our window. We have one who has an extended timeline. We've allowed that, and then we have one who does not have a hasn't turned on, but they don't have any construction costs that are associated with that specific line. It was a multimeter bar situation, and then we're working with the rest that are just delinquent on the agreement that they have made with IGU. The last thing I will say is that following Clay's exciting update about North Slope LNG and us having received the first load, we're going to schedule an event. It will be here at IGU. It will be on October 24th, and that's a Friday, in the afternoon. We'll invite the community to come celebrate the first North Slope LNG here, and you will all receive your invites probably tomorrow.
What's that date?
Oh, October 24th. It's a Friday. And nothing aside from the targeted airshed grant on the grants. We're still closely monitoring all new postings. There just aren't many these days. And that, unless there are any questions, concludes my report.
Any questions for Elena? Great.
Two things. The hospital is still working to the negotiated price and using our gas?
Yes.
No changes there?
No changes.
Second, as you know, I mentioned it a number of times, I have promised personally that we would keep Ada in the loop on where we are. So if I would ask Steve, Elena, to take the picture with the flag in it, the first truck, and just send that to Dana, send it to Randy Guerrero, and just say, here's our first truck, and just a paragraph about what it means. You don't have to get into all the details, but that truly is the first truck, and I want to follow through on my commitment so they know, and it doesn't come in through the back door that we shipped one and didn't tell them.
Sure.
Because as our banker, they're very interested, and I'd like to keep them right up to date.
Is the question the clean trailer or the one
that the clean trailer, one with the American.
The real one or the clean one?
If you could do that, it would see if that's okay with you folks. And the sooner the better, I would suggest. Thank you.
Of the 22, 20, 24 installs have not turned on, how many of those are commercial versus residential?
Do you remember?
Okay, we can find out. Not a lot are commercial. I know of one commercial, and it's the McDonald's on Geist, and they're going through litigation and cannot touch the building as that is happening. They have paid their construction costs. There is a bigger building. It's not commercial per se, but it's an Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living. They have had some turnover within their leadership. The new CEO didn't know what the old or executive director didn't know about. There was not a lot of continuity in the information that was shared there, and they are the ones who have the extended timeline, because we didn't feel like collecting from a nonprofit would have best served our interests as a publicly owned organization. So I gave them an extended timeline so that the new interim director can work on that. Hudson will give us more information as soon as he's back. Those are the only two that come to memory.
And what is it Interior Alaska for Nonviolent Living, are they hesitating because of cost?
No, they're just they're getting their three bids. They have to get three bids. Our grant writer is working with them. I have offered, because we don't have any grants of our own to write right now, I have offered that he offers his services to write a grant to cover the cost of the conversion. I just think that nobody pioneered that that task.
So they haven't converted their facilities yet.
Correct.
To natural gas.
Correct. Yes.
I was just wondering, how is 2025 looking? Will we have installs that are not converting? Do you have updates that, or do you kind of keep track of maybe paid, pending, or extended status?
Yeah, so that's what I just I shared. 106 of them have turned on, but once they have 6 months from the date of the install to turn on before they're delinquent, and we haven't reached that milestone for any of the 2025 installs.
Are you worried about it?
Well, there are always stragglers, and we always work with everybody. One of the stances that we could take is start either putting liens on properties or starting to collect Social Security numbers with the application so that we can send people to collections if they don't turn on. We have had that conversation to include with the board several years ago, back when I was in Hudson's role, and we concluded that it would not make as much sense to put a lien on, say, if the goal is 600, put liens on 600 properties for the 20 that will not turn on. It's laborious and it takes and it's expensive to do that. And so because of that, we just work with everybody, and there'll be a small percentage that doesn't turn on. But one thing that we see historically, especially if we were to go back to, say, the 2020, but over time, people will convert because the asset is there.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
It's 15 residential customers and 7
15 residential?
Yeah. Now, that triggered my memory. A couple of those are a builder who is behind on their schedule.
So the residential properties, but they're under a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll move on to attorney's report. Zane, you're up.
I just have, I don't have anything to add to the attorney reports per se. I'm happy to answer any questions on that. I did want to take the opportunity, though, to congratulate management on moving forward with the PHMSA stuff. I haven't been intimately involved in that. I know that the amount of work that was necessary to get that addressed, and I think that's a real big step for IGU moving forward. So congratulations on that.
Is the AGDC spur line something we're going to talk about in executive session? Thank you.
We could, if you so desire. I could, there's some legal things we work through there we could chat with you about, sure.
Okay. Any more questions for Zane here? Hearing none, we'll move on to Director request for IGU information. Derek.
I have three. I'd like to know, if someone asked me, a day in the life of an LNG trucker. So when we send a trucker out, shouldn't have shown up. So when we send a truck up to the slope, it goes up, it gets loaded, and it comes back down. What is the mechanics of that? Well, the person said, "Are we hot sheeting them?" Which I didn't know what that was, but now I do. So. Maybe I'd just like to know how it's 500 miles both ways, so there's some break somewhere in there, and we got to load it and all that. So I don't need to know all that now. Maybe the next meeting. Just and I was kind of flat. I was sort of embarrassed because I should really have an answer to that question.
No, not right now.
So next one, thank you. I was driving down the Lathrop the other day from Van Horn and looked over and I saw the new facility, the new borough facility. And then I saw on the south, in the northeast corner, the new CNG facility, which I had no idea what that meant other than there was something there that was nice and shiny and I wanted to know about it. I wonder if we could have somebody come from the borough and explain to us how that system works. It's good parts and it's bad parts, and if it has anything to do with us expanding expanding the demand for our gas system. And then sort of attended that thing, we've all driven down the Mitchell Expressway and saw the shiny new building over on the south side, which is the Middle Forks building. So and I thought maybe we could get a burst about where that is, and just so when people say something or we say something, and I say, well, that's the new trucking company that's going to haul our gas, and people are just sort of, oh, it's really happening. So yeah, it is really happening. So if we could just get a burst about that building, and I think there's some special components in there that we need to know about. So just sometime, Elaine, if you could put something together, I would be a little smarter when somebody asks me the question. And with that, that's all I have. Thank you.
Are you up for a tour? You want a tour of it? Or?
Well, that's kind of up to us. I would like to have a tour. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
We can do that.
Big warehouse.
Got the right room to make that happen.
That's big warehouse.
Okay. Any more requests? Hearing none, we'll move on to closing comments. General Manager?
It just snuck up on me that I've been doing this for 2 years now. It's been on October 1st was my 2-year anniversary in this role. And I can't say I've enjoyed every minute, but I've enjoyed a lot of minutes of it.
Majority. Nice. Okay, me? What are the comments from the attorney?
Nothing. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Closing comments for board members, directors. Jeff.
Well, thank you, Elena, for sticking out with us for 2 years. It's been a grueling experience. I feel sure for you, but you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Pete.
Amen to that.
Okay.
I may reserve my comments until at the end of others' comments, perhaps.
Okay, Mike.
Other than congratulations for 2 years, I have no other comments.
No comments?
No comments. Okay, I have a comment. If we're going to get out of here early tonight, I hope, and you still have time to vote. If you haven't voted, so go vote. The other thing is, thanks, Chris, for the newsletter. I want to know if that picture is before. I asked George if it was before or after work. And he said it might have been at lunch, but if you haven't seen the newsletter, it's got a picture of Chris on the front, the project management guy, so with his family. Funny picture. Anyhow. Also, I want to thank Elena for a few years, and I'm working on, I've asked Erica did a lot of background work, and I'm planning on nominating Elena for the top 40 under 40 this year. And even if she doesn't get it, she says she has a couple more years to get until she gets there, but I'm planning on making that happen. So you're going to get, as directors, you're going to get probably a little letter or some kind of a request for information. And there's a format that Erica's tracking. We can go out there and look at her cohorts and people to work with and get that to happen. So that's a big plan, my big plan. Last thing I want to talk about tonight, and this is probably why Gary wanted to reserve his comments, is I am not planning on reapplying to be on the board next year. Okay? I've been on it for 16 plus years. We started years ago when we got money from the state to do a little study to look at the local utility. And it's been great. I wouldn't do it again, knowing how much work goes into it to do this, but it's been fun. And right now I think it's time to get some new ideas in there, some new blood, and keep this thing. You can also say it should be like a term limit thing, but I'm not sure. I'm totally on board with term limits. But I'm not planning on reapplying. So that now you, Gary, reserved it.
Thanks.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I forgot Jim. Jim, go ahead. Sorry, I skipped you.
Can you hear me?
Steve? Yeah.
I'm good. Steve, when you talk, can you move closer to the mic?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
I'm talking now, but yeah. So do you have any final comments, Jim?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Gary?
Well, thank you, and thanks for the indulgence. When people talk about sea change, this is a sea change. So, and Steve shared with me his thoughts and about the reasons why he wanted to move on. And I absolutely appreciate and recognize those decisions that come when you need to decide to not re-up. But that doesn't by any means minimize Steve's importance to us at this table and to the 2,600 and growing people. He and Jack and Jim, and I think that's at this table, we're in this mix right from the beginning when it was just a shiny thing along the road. And you picked it off and polished it up, and here we are, where many people thought we wouldn't be. And that success is attributable to you and your leadership and your experience. And I don't want for a minute to think that, and you are going to walk away from us. We took a gamble when Cook Inlet dropped that thing in the punch bowl, and it splashed over all the gas utilities in interior and or in the rail belt. We had to make a choice, and we took a gamble, and we took a gamble because we're doing something that hasn't been done before, and the output is by no means certain. If it was certain, it wouldn't have been a gamble. So we are, and I know we all know this, but it bears repeating. And this is why we need to figure out a way to keep Steve involved, because he wants to be involved. He's needed. It's necessary that he be involved. What we're trying to do here, and it's pretty simple. We're trying to build a 1,000-mile pipeline along a road that is so treacherous. It has a TV show named after it, and it operates half full at all times. It'll never be more than half full. That's a gamble. And so I say all this as backdrop. I've talked to Elena about it, and I'm sure perhaps others have. But we need to keep Steve involved to the extent he wants to be involved. And we have precedent for that. But we'll work that out as a group with Steve. But I hope you share my passion for making sure that we continue on, and when the 2 a.m. call comes, Steve is there to answer. So we'll talk more about this, but this is a sea change, and we need to learn from it, build from it, and continue to serve the people that were put here to help. So with that, thank you, and we have some talks to do. Okay. So thank you, Steve.
Yeah, and so I didn't mention this, but I'm not planning on going leaving town. I'm going to be here. I will accept the speed dial from Elena or anybody on this board if they want to talk. So that's not. I'm not. You know, I helped birth this thing. I'm not going to walk away from it and leave it now that it's a teenager. So that's not a problem at all.
Would have expected that you would ever do that.
And I'll probably be a pain in the butt to do that.
So your term expires in 2025 or 2026?
This year, it's December 31st this year. Just like all Mike's does, Gary's does, and mine. All the appointed seats terminate at the end of the year.
I thought seats changed.
They did for elected seats. They moved up. Remember, okay. You had that.
But just elected seats, not...
Just elected seats.
Okay.
The other ones were... At least that's what our website says. It says my term goes till the end of the year.
And you're appointed by who?
The borough mayor.
The borough mayor. And are you in discussions with the borough mayor about your replacement?
Yes. So. Yep. I've been talking to him for like 6 months.
And we should add to that, and I know the mayor has evolved with a couple people right now, but if we know somebody that you sit on a board or you sit somewhere and say, you know, he'd be good, think about that, and it may be a time that person steps up, and maybe if not this time around, there'll be other people that leave. We have that person sort of starting to get interested in what we're doing, Sherry, and so this is more than spreads much further than just you, so this can be a help.
He or she. You said he.
Yeah, I said
that. But that means Gary and Mike's terms expire this year also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Oh, yeah, Gary and Mike.
Gary and Mike,
yes.
Yep.
That's correct.
You guys are re-upping?
Not sure.
What? I don't know. I'll tell you after the election comes out today.
Okay. Any more comments? Can I have a motion to adjourn at the end of the executive session?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adjourn the board meeting at the adjournment of the executive session.
Okay. Second.
Any without objection? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter into executive session to discuss a harvest update, strategic planning, business development matters, which is immediately known to clearly have an adverse impact on the effects of IGU finances, to include the IGU Board of Directors, the General Manager, the Comptroller, the IGU Director of Operations, the Executive Assistant, and the IGU Attorney. Members of the public invited to participate in discussion of item one is the harvest update shall include clay videos, and clay should be excused prior to the discussions on items two and three, at which time only the board members, IGU, GM, and Comptroller, and Director of Operations, and the Executive Assistant, and the Attorney should be present.
That's all on page, what, 20?
What a great motion.
Just remember.
That's how I was going to say it. Yeah. This is on page 29 if you missed some of that. You want to reread it. Okay. Have a second?
Second.
Okay. Without objection, hearing none, we are in executive session.